The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast by William Hill. My name is Sam Norris and I'll be joined on this edition of the podcast by John Budden. To look ahead to all of Sunday's racing, we've got racing from Salisbury, Newmarket, Hamilton and also Irish meetings from Gower and Sligo. How are you today, John?
I'm pretty well, Sam, pretty well. I was sitting in this seat a week ago and Alex was presenting and I said to him, you know, I'm really keen on a horse called Call of Duty. And Alex couldn't believe it. He said the thing hadn't won for about 2 years. And I said, no, I watched this horse run at Musselburgh and I feel it's got a really tremendous chance and I'll certainly be on it at Ayr. On Sunday. I nabbed a 10-1 shot of Jim Goldie's called Rosse Chancellor, who ran extremely well but finished second. What did Call of Duty do? Won comfortably
at
11-2.
Always the way. Always the way.
Oh, dear, I've been punished ever since.
Well, good news for our listeners that we've got a tipster in fine form then. Going into this one.
I did have a winning nap on Friday anyhow, so hopefully Saturdays will go in as well.
Excellent, yeah, and hopefully we can pick out some winners on Sunday. Just before we move ahead to Sunday's racing, see the conclusion of the Punchestown Festival. It's been a really enjoyable festival of racing. What the standout performance has been for you, John?
I think Beat That was the outstanding performance. I'm very, very impressed with the Henderson horse. Of course, ridden by Barry Geraghty, who is almost invincible at the moment. But it was a high-class contest. The horse had, won well at Aintree, and I think he's a really good young horse for the future. And when he goes over fences, absolutely tremendous. Other headlines, God's Own for Tom George, that was something of a turn up. I thought that Boulder Success was definitely going to win that high-class novice chase. But, of course, he cut his own throat chasing Champagne Fever. Very interesting that although Boulder Success did actually stay on quite well to finish third, Champagne Fever was absolutely shot in that race. It was a fantastically exciting festival. My goodness me, it must require a lot of stamina, Sam. The final day, I was pleased that Jeske won.
Yes.
In fact, I couldn't quite understand why people felt that Hurricane Fly would reverse Cheltenham form merely because Hurricane Fly was, tremendous at Punchestown and in Ireland. I mean, Jeske was a good winner. I was very keen on My Tent or Yours, much to the horror of most people in the William Hill studio at Cheltenham.
Wasn't popular, was it?
No, but I thought he ran extremely well at Cheltenham, and I thought he was going to win over the final flight, but Jeske stayed on really well then. And I'm actually pleased he won yesterday. Also pleased to AP, because a lot of people said, before Cheltenham, that AP, in fact, hadn't really got on well with Jeske.
Yeah.
And, that it was Barry Geraghty back on 3 out of 3 or whatever he was at the time.
Sure.
Jeske won. But AP on board yesterday, he must have been very satisfied with that win.
Yeah, absolutely. And great for us to watch as well, a horse following up on Cheltenham form with AP McCoy on board. Just really good stuff. We'll move on then to Sunday's racing. And the 1,000 guineas, of course, this podcast being recorded before the outcome of the 2,000 guineas. So sadly, we can't touch on that. But it looks to be a good race, this 1,000 guineas. Rizina leads the betting at the time of recording 7-2, 6-1 Miss France, 7-1 Lucky Crystal, 8-1 Itamal, 9-1 Tapestry, and 10-1 or bigger the remainder. Really good races, John. The guineas this year have really captured the imagination. Who do you like in this one?
Well, I want Lucky Crystal to win this badly. But when you want horses, particularly fillies, to win badly, Sam, they probably don't.
Yes.
But, you know, you want fairy tales in racing, and Lucky Crystal winning would be a fairy tale for George Margeson and comparatively small-time owners. And I think the filly's got a great chance. I mean, she was very impressive last year. Remember, she only cost $22,000, I think. But George Margeson had said at the time that he was prepared to go to at least four or five times that amount,
really,
to buy her, because he felt that she was the one filly that he wanted. And he, in fact, didn't have to pay out all that much. I thought she might prove to be a precocious two-year-old, Sam, because she was pretty well matured last year for a two-year-old. And when you compared her with one or two others that she raced against, one got the feeling, will she improve from two to three? Well, a report suggests she has. I mean, David Milnes and the Newmarket Gallop Watchers, they go into ecstasies of delight about Lucky Crystal's performance on the gallops. And if she follows up that win at York in the Lowther Stakes, she's got to have a great chance, and I love to see her win.
Yeah.
But... but Sam,
I sense there was a but coming.
Yes, there are two definite buts. Miss France is questionable. Didn't impress quite so much as she might have done when running at Newmarket last autumn. But Andre Farber in the 1,000 guineas, oh dear me. And then there's Rosina.
Yeah.
And I think Rosina's got to have a major chance. She's so versatile. I read Richard Hughes fairly carefully in Saturday's Racing Post, and he's much looking forward to riding Rosina, although, of course, he was, in fact, hoping to ride Learning Criselian, the Fillies Mile winner, but, alas, not able to do so. I think Rosina was remarkably sharp to win the Queen Mary over five furlongs. And Clive Britton has always been confident that she would stay a mile. Richard Hughes definitely confident that the mile is her trip, and felt that she'd run extremely well in the Fillies Mile. And he was apparently always going to ride Rosina were he... Ryan Moore not available. And,
sure.
So he's on board. And, of course, he won the 1,000 guineas last year, and he's a tremendous jockey. So I think Rosina is a major, major danger. In many ways, I'd like to see her win for Clive Britton.
Yeah.
But I'm going to stick with Lucky Crystal to bring home the fairy tale.
Lucky Crystal, then, in a fairy tale finish for John, who was an absolute steal at $22,000. Currently, Lucky Crystal is available at 7-1 in the market. The next race we're going to do here on this podcast is the 3 o'clock from Hamilton, Class 2 event. Just over five furlongs of trip, seven runners down to go to post. Who do you like in this one, John?
Well, a number of horses in this one. First of all, I must say, Sam, I think it's excellent that Hamilton have got two £25,000 races on their opening day of the 2014 season. It's what is required, particularly north of the border on Sundays. Forget about family days.
Yep.
Want proper racing. And if you have proper racing with good prize money, then people will travel from the centres like Newmarket and even further south to courses like Hamilton and Musselburgh, who had a very good Easter fixtures themselves. So two £25,000 races, excellent news. This one is the Tangerine Trees Condition Stakes. Tangerine Trees was, of course, a winner of a big race at Hamilton, and let's remember fondly, in Scotland. I thought that there were about four in this contest, Sam, with a really good chance. Sleeper King at the top. Interesting horse. I remember him running first time last year and running extremely well, and Kevin Ryan saying this horse is extremely good. And Sleeper King ran in some top class races throughout last season, not disgraced in any of them. He was at Ascot, he was at all the serious places like Doncaster and York, and he was in the first four almost throughout, and he could easily score here. I think perhaps he might have a little bit too much weight first time out, but Philip making it in the saddle, and I'm pleased that Philip is back in good form, yeah, because he's had problems with his weight. So Sleeper King is one of them. Viva Verglas, another one for David Barron. Very, very fast, this individual. And I remember winning a couple of races, certainly at Musselburgh in the spring last year, absolutely scooting away from the stalls, and ended up by getting back into winning form at Wolverhampton. Cannot be overlooked. And then right at the bottom, Brian Smart's got a horse called Meadway. Brian Smart likes to win these sort of races, and Meadway was not beaten all that far when third last time out at Ripon. But the choice has got to be Eccleston, Sam.
All right.
There is, to me, little question that Eccleston's got a major chance here. David O'Meara trains, and Eccleston ran in three quite high-class races last year, culminating fairly early in the season, a premature end to it, in the Super Sprint Stakes at Newbury. Tremendous field, as there always is there at the Berkshire course for that event. And Eccleston finished sixth, and he was not beaten very far.
Right.
And the form of that race has worked out pretty well. And I was with him at Sandown first time out this season. He was extremely well back during the morning, and he won well. He won extremely well because he had to be switched. He was right up against the stands rails at the halfway stage, and they were going lickety-split, Sam. And, I thought to myself, he's not going to win this race. But Danny Tudhope, who's not on board at Hamilton, Sam James is riding, but Danny Tudhope switched to Eccleston right round the field, and down the centre of the course he came, and he thundered home. And he did, in fact, win well. And I see no reason why he shouldn't follow up tomorrow. So, despite the quality of the field, Eccleston will be my choice for that Tangerine Trees condition stakes.
Okay, then, interesting stuff. Eccleston, the pit there for John in what looks to be a really good race from Hamilton. All horses in the field have won at the trip, so looks to be a competitive race, that one. The 4:45 is the last race that we'll come to on the podcast from Hamilton. 1 mile, 5 furlong the trip. A few good looking horses in this one, John. Who do you like?
Well, I'm a Johnny Delta supporter, and I shall remain loyal to this horse.
Yeah.
This is the Buttonhook Stakes, again, a 25 grand race. But the one at the top is a serious worry, Servino. Servino's been, a pretty classy handicapper for David Barron for a number of years. It seems really quite a long time ago that Servino went down to Windsor. I remember in the sort of early part of a season in a big field, quite valuable race, and won comfortably. And one thought, that Servino got a really good future. He's run in top-class handicaps at York and other big courses since then. Been a little bit disappointing, but there were suggestions that he was coming back to form, Sam, at the end of last year, and Servino ran extremely well at Musselburgh in the race on Good Friday over 1.6 miles, which was eventually just won by Johnny Delta. But Servino was not beaten very far, was second in the contest, and it wouldn't surprise me at all to see him certainly give Johnny Delta a tremendous fight for his money and perhaps win. Of others in the field, Categorical, great favourite of mine, just got beaten in an amateur riders race at Musselburgh last time out with Serena Brotherton on board. Runs really pretty gamely, but I don't think he's quite good enough class for this. Omar Land represents John Quinn. I don't think he's quite good enough. So for me, it's a straightforward fight between Servino and Johnny Delta, and I have to be with Jovial Jim's Johnny Delta. I hope he's going to translate Musselburgh form to Hamilton. There's no reason why he shouldn't. This horse, won sort of first time out at Musselburgh. I remember he won a Stayers race at Musselburgh about 2 or 3 years ago, and on the strength of that was thought to go really well in decent handicaps. But the handicapper, Cruel Beggar, took hand of him, and he had absolutely no chance for really about two seasons. I remember Kieran Fallon riding him at Doncaster in a really quite competitive handicap, and I thought to myself, he might have a chance here. He came with every chance, but he just had too much weight, and and it's been the same all the way through the last two seasons, but he's got down at last to winning mark. And Ian Brennan rode him at Musselburgh on Good Friday. Nice to see Ian Brennan back riding winners, incidentally. He was one of the people who was in that awful fire at Malton, jumped out of the window, and he was with John Quinn at the time. Then he went to Australia. That didn't really work out. Came back and went to Ireland, and he's back with John Quinn again now in Malton. So all good news. He rode Johnny Delta for Jim Goldie at Musselburgh, rode it extremely well, and as soon as I heard the horse coming inside the last furlong, I thought to myself, this will win, and he got up and he won cosily, in my view. During the period out in the wilderness, he had actually finished fifth in a Sozarewitch, so he's quite a decent stayer, Johnny Delta, and I hope, you know, that now he's hit form, confidence will be there, and he will hold Savino, but it's going to be tricky, sir.
Good stuff then. A bit of a two-horse race then for John in the 4:45, but he hopes that Johnny Delta will just get his nose in front. If you could just spin us through your selections one more time, please, John, for Sunday's racing.
Well, in the Kipco 1,000 guineas, I desperately want Lucky Cristal to win for George Margeson and co. And then at Hamilton in the 3 o'clock, I thought Eccleston had a very, very good chance. And finally in the 4:45, I think it's Savino with Johnny Delta, and I'm going for Johnny Delta.
Excellent stuff then. There you go, the thoughts of John Budden on Sunday's racing, and you can listen to it all here on William Hill's Racing Radio with John alongside Mick Norton.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.